I'm so glad you decided to join me back here on my podcast, Lessons of a Former Pastor's Wife. I'm your host, Amy Kennedy, and this is my story. If you're following me on Facebook, then you know I've been putting up teasers in regard to the next two lessons that I'm going to share with you. I was a pretty young Christian when a pastor first walked me through the Romans Road to Salvation. And these scriptures have stuck with me ever since. I shared in a podcast not too long ago about a crisis of faith I had back in February 2023. These scriptures helped bring me back to a place of faith. In my opinion, the Romans Road to Salvation is not just an excellent way to bring people to the point of accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and turning from their sinful lives. But it is also an excellent reminder to those of us who have walked the Christian path for some time, but have lost our way. It's also a heavy reminder to us that we cannot earn God's love through good works while we emancipate our hearts from His love. In Romans 5:12, Paul reminds us, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin entered into our world through Adam and Eve when they sinned against God. All the way back in Genesis, we see the punishment for their sin became death. Yes, now all people are allotted to die. I've worked in hospice for a very long time, and I can tell you that the people who have the most peaceful deaths are the ones who have accepted its inevitability. We needed Jesus's sacrifice to save us from the permanence of death. This world is corrupt, and in our own power, we will remain corrupt. But God provided a way out of that corruption through the sacrifice of His perfect Lamb. Death is the very reason why we need salvation. If you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself right now that death doesn't sound so bad, you just go to sleep and there's nothing more. I want you to know that you couldn't be more wrong. There is something else after death for every person, and that is a day of judgment. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 is something that I've referenced in the past, and this is where we are hearing Jesus talk about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And it's one of the saddest set of scriptures for me personally when I read it. Because I can really picture what Jesus is saying here. So, starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he says to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, you may be so callous right now to believe that death is not an enemy, but I guarantee you will not be callous toward death on the day of judgment when Jesus is sifting out those of whom he knows and those he does not know. And I want to really hammer this point home to you Christians right now. Just because you claim the name of Jesus does not mean Jesus knows you. Now, this scripture can also lead a person to believe that it is by works alone that you can be saved. After all, Jesus is saying, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. It's pretty harsh. But as I walk you through the Romans road, I hope you will begin to understand what James 2:26 says. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that's where I want to pause really quick for those of you who are Christians and are listening to me. And I'm going to hammer this a little bit later as well. You could do all the great works in the world, but if you don't have faith, it's dead. Therefore, when we have faith, we will want to do these things because it will come from the love that is inside of us with the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If your professions of faith are not lining up with your actions, you have a heart problem. And this is where I want to get into walking with us on the Romans road to salvation. I gave you a little warm up there. So we're all stretched and we're all ready to take this nice walk down Romans road. And that starts with Romans 3:23. And that is to understand that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is such a fundamental place to begin because too often people believe or are led to believe that they have done too much bad to ever receive salvation. People limit the saving power of Jesus's sacrifice when they believe there is anything that they have done that can keep them from receiving the free gift of salvation that is in accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if we jog backwards just a little bit to Romans 3:10, Paul says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." What this is saying is that you have never met a single person who is more worthy of salvation than you are. We can look to modern day pastors, priests, and even the Pope and remind ourselves that no matter how much human beings elevate men and women, they and their great works are not elevated above you in the eyes of God. If you have ever believed you aren't good enough, if you've ever believed you've done too much bad to enjoy the free gift of salvation, or if your current actions are not lining up with what you would believe a Christian should be doing, take heart that no one can ever earn salvation because it's a gift that's freely given. We have all sinned, and because we are not perfect, we all keep sinning. Reading a little further in Romans 3, verses 19 through 26, we hear that the law is there to make us conscious only of what sin is, not that we are saved by living a legal life. We are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. The law that is spelled out does not save us. And there are religions out there that would have you living a legalistic life and believing that's the way you will gain salvation. But that is not truth. Because we read, if we take just a little side trip off of the Romans road, another book written by Paul, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What I love the most about this is that last line, lest anyone should boast. And I'm not going to disparage any religions out there, any denominations, but if you're so focused on giving money and doing great works, you could fall into the trap of trying to elevate yourself above others and boasting of your greatness in Christ. And we see the exact opposite being played out in Scripture, that Jesus and his disciples did not at any point in time ever allow anyone to boast of them. And they did not condone when others did boasting. This is so, so prevalent throughout all of the New Testament. It is by grace alone that we are saved. It's a gift of God, not works. Now, getting back on Romans Road, we're going to pause for a second on Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And continuing in verses 9 through 11, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, the full extent of God's love for his creation is in the fact that Christ died for people in whom there was nothing that evoked that love. We didn't do anything to deserve or earn God's love. I think parents can understand this the greatest. There is no love like that of a parent for their child. Sure, there are a lot of really bad, selfish parents out there. But the vast majority of people who are privileged to have a child not only recognize their child, but they will do everything they can to protect that child, even when the child is a complete and total jerk and undeserving of their parents' unconditional love. I hope you're beginning to understand on this journey that we're going down in Romans Road that you do deserve salvation. You are loved by a father who doesn't owe you anything, but has given you everything. And all you have to do is stretch out your hand and take the free gift. You may be asking yourself a fundamental question that I have often asked, and that's this: why did Christ die for my sins? Why couldn't God just forgive Adam and Eve and go about business as usual? These are really good questions. And the simple answer is summed up in one word: consequences. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see the principle of sowing and reaping constantly played out in the Bible, and it is a law of nature, not to mention in our own lives. If you sow contempt and anger, you're going to reap contempt and anger. You can't sow peas and get pears. If you sow love and peace, you will reap love and peace. It's just the way things are. And almost every religious entity out there recognizes this. Adam and Eve introduced sin in the world. They were told by God not to eat of the tree of knowledge because it would lead to death. And they still did it. Adam and Eve fundamentally did not understand consequences. And I guarantee you, they didn't understand the ongoing consequences generations and generations down the line. Now, this may sound like a really silly example, but I have a younger brother. And any person who is listening to me right now that has a younger brother, you're going to understand what I'm saying. When I say younger brothers, especially when they're growing up with you, as children, are the most frustrating creatures on earth until they finally grow up and become men. And even then, sometimes. My younger brother used to pester me mercilessly. And I often would give him the benefit of understanding exactly what I was going to do to him if he didn't leave me alone. It may make me sound like a really bad person, but to this day, I still believe a lot of the things that I did to hurt my brother were his own fault because he knew in advance what was going to happen and he still persisted in pestering me. My younger brother had a fundamental lack of understanding consequences. Now, I know that's a silly example, but it is so what we deal with in our lives every single day. We do a lot of things that we pay consequences for. You know, you can have a candy bar, and that's fantastic. They taste great, but you can't have three candy bars every single day for the next 3 months and not face significant consequences. The same thing is said of smoking, drinking too much. It just, moderation is fine in a lot of things, but the consequences of these persistent things that we do in our lives really can pile up on us. And then before you know it, if you've had that three candy bars every single day, month after month after month, you're sitting there wondering how you gained so much weight and why you may be diagnosed now with diabetes. And then you have to look back on what were the things that led you to the consequences you're currently facing. One of the scriptures in the Bible that I find so truly, truly applicable to this conversation on consequences and why we need a salvation, why we were given salvation to begin with, is in the popular verse John 3:16. You see it put up at sporting events all of the time. And for anyone who was raised in the church, this is probably a scripture that you memorized at some point in time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, what this scripture is saying is Adam and Eve sinned, even though they knew the consequences of their sin. And their sin introduced the world to sin. But because God loves us so much, he provided a way out of the consequences. If you look all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve what would happen if they ate of that tree. But he never told them that he would provide a way out of the consequences. That came after they sinned. Now, we're not done walking down the Romans road to salvation. I wanted to spend this week focusing on understanding why we need a savior and understanding that the gift of salvation is ours for free. I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying today and that you're starting to believe in your heart that you are loved. You are cherished. Maybe you didn't have a mother or father who loved you the way they should have. Maybe you have spent your entire adult life searching for love in places where you only received pain. God has given you a free gift in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear me when I say this. You don't have to change anything in your life right now. Don't stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. Just do one thing. If you want salvation, just do one thing. Wherever you are right now, close your eyes and say this prayer. God, you love the world so much that you gave your one and only Son for my sins, so that if I believe in him, I may not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart. I choose this day to accept your gift of salvation. I challenge you to repeat this prayer as often as you need to while you wait for Jesus to work a miracle in your life by healing your heart. The gift of salvation is not only meant for eternal life, but is also meant for a better life right here on earth. The riches that God blesses us with right here on earth are peace, patience, kindness, and overwhelming love. Once your heart is healed and in relationship with God, your actions will start to reflect what is happening in your heart. And this brings me back to the very beginning where I was talking specifically to Christians those of you who profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're professing one thing, but your actions are something else, there's a heart problem. And you need to start back at the beginning and accept Jesus as your Savior and fall in love with Him all over again. I hope you will continue walking the Romans road to salvation with me in my next podcast. Meanwhile, please take to heart what I've told you today. You are loved. You are wanted. Don't let the evils of this world steal that from you. Nothing you can do and nothing you have ever done will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Only you can choose to accept the gift of salvation. Only you can choose to reject it. Many blessings to you all this week. Thank you for joining me. And if you want to have me pray for you, please email me at formerpastorwife@outlook.com. You can also email me if you would like to share your story of what God has done in your life. I look forward to our next lesson as we walk down the Romans road to salvation.